SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today, divisional round weekend in the NFL. We've got previews of all the games, daily fantasy lineups, and telling you who to play in your playoff leagues as well. I'm Craig Bish, along with Davis Maddock, as we continue our stretch toward the Super Bowl. Last time, Davis, we're going to have four games on the NFL slate, so you may as well relish it, Davis. This is it, right? Like, you get to the AFC and NFC championship game, certainly fun. But this is the last really big weekend of the NFL. You know, naturally, you know, next week's big and the Super Bowl's big, but like we don't get that Saturday, Sunday fun like we are going to get it this week.
Yeah, I mean, this is our last sort of period where it sort of still feels like football season after the divisional round. You know, basically, I mean, to me, I'm already thinking about 2024, honestly, at that point. You know, it's like we're already moving on, really getting into, you know, basketball. Obviously, we have look, pitchers and catchers are reporting before you know it, we will have some spring league ball going on. And yeah, I mean, look, you're going to have 6 hours of football on Saturday, 6 hours of football on Sunday, and that'll be the last time that we are able to say that for, what, 7 months, effectively, 8 months, really, yeah. Which is it's a bummer, man. I mean, look, I love all sports. I love golf. I love all, and we're going to be getting into all of that, obviously, over the course of the spring and the summer. But football, it's just the best. It is the best.
Yeah, well, we'll turn the page on football when the time comes. Usually we do that on this show right around after the Super Bowl, and that's probably what we're going to do here. So those of you who are locked into football season, great. If you're waiting for some baseball, got to wait a little bit longer. And naturally, honestly, with the baseball, the way it's gone this winter in terms of the hot stove is going all the way into February this year. Still, a lot of guys still remain unsigned. But let's start off with our headlines here in the NFL and how it affects fantasy. Certainly, we found out that Mike McCarthy is back once again for the Dallas Cowboys. We'll dive into that. Tyler Higbee's status for the beginning of training camp is in doubt, suffering a torn ACL in the game against the Lions last week. Playoff Lenny is no more. He's been released from the practice squad. And Marlon Humphrey ruled out for the Ravens. And also, late Davis, we found out Mark Andrews is not going to play for the Ravens. Isaiah Likely, one could surmise, is potentially as good, if not maybe even better than Mark Andrews. Maybe that's not fair to Mark Andrews. He's been so good, but I definitely think that he is still in play for the weekend. Let's start off with Mike McCarthy here. I know that you follow the Chiefs in the AFC and the Cowboys in the NFC. I guess I'm not really all that surprised. I mean, in the end, the Cowboys had a great regular season, really, when you think about it. It's just this playoff time has just been really tough to get over, and it happened again.
It has. It happened again, and I don't really see any way that you could even be surprised by this, that this is the way that the Cowboys seasons continue to end, because the things that Mike McCarthy does, he tends to be pretty conservative, you know, does not like to really press the edges on, you know, going for it on fourth downs, likes to run the ball a lot. I mean, that was sort of the weird thing about the Cowboys season, was in a way, I feel like Brian Schottenheimer and Mike McCarthy kind of got bailed out, actually, by how poorly Tony Pollard played. Because had Tony Pollard been the Tony Pollard that we remember, right, ripping off 10, 15, 20-yard gains, very effective, I actually think they probably would have never found that CeeDee Lamb might be the best wide receiver in the NFL. You know, they would have stuck to the script that they had had in years prior. You know, CeeDee gets 150 targets, not 200 targets, and Dak throws for 29 touchdowns, not 36 touchdowns. And effectively what happened in this game, I mean, one, Dak did not play a very good game, but also you could just tell on the sideline, they were just frazzled. The Dallas Cowboys 1-53, they were frazzled. They played that game in a frazzled manner. It was not calm. It was not cool. It was not collected. Followed by, I think, back-to-back two of the worst decisions, honestly, in the history of the sport. It's 3rd and 5. It's on the 35-yard line. Dak rolls out to his right, takes a sack. Cannot take a sack there. You have to get points on this drive. Unacceptable, inexcusable, takes the sack. Then it's 4th and 12, from the 41-yard line, the opponent's 41-yard line. What does Mike McCarthy do? He rolls out the punter. Rolls out the down 21-0, rolls out the punter. To me, that right there, if I'm Jerry Jones, if I'm in the front office, you sealed your fate right there. You're not the guy to steer the ship. I probably, Craig, my guess is what happened. He put out some feelers to Belichick, who I think he would have preferred to hire. And Belichick said, you want me in? Okay, give me full control. You let me bring in McDaniels. You let me bring in Joe Judge. You let me bring in Patricia. And Jerry Jones says, well, I'm not doing that. And so they decided to keep McCarthy.
Yeah, no, I think that sounds right. We truly will never know. The only sort of strong Davis head coach that Jerry Jones has had that it's worked with has been Bill Parcells. That's it. I mean, you think back in the past, the reason why Jimmy Johnson left was over this stuff. And Jimmy did not have the same success in Miami, obviously, that he had in Dallas. But Belichick is in that mold of wanting to do it all. I don't know. By the way, Davis, how did it ever work with Bill Parcells, really, when you think about it? I mean, I guess Parcells just chased the money. I mean, honestly, like thinking back on it, I have no idea how that worked. Regardless of that, that's the situation there. Let's get to the latest injury news. Saturday's game coming up, no Mark Andrews for the Baltimore Ravens. We've seen this before. Unfortunately, Davis, the Ravens have had to play without him in the past. Does anything change with Isaiah Likely getting the majority of the snaps?
I mean, definitely I think it would change in a matchup against the Buffalo Bills or the Kansas City Chiefs in an AFC Conference Championship. I think there is a real difference there. One of the main reasons being you can't really go to your 12 personnel if you have Isaiah Likely and Charlie Kolar. That's it. That's all you have. We actually saw, by the way, another example why Mike McCarthy is like can be fired immediately. The Green Bay Packers went out in 12 personnel against the Cowboys. It was really the first time all year that they'd used 12 personnel at all. They used it on all of their first two drives, and it totally threw the defense off entirely. The Ravens, in the past, historically, Lamar has been at his best when he's had two tight ends on the field. Now, they're still 9.5-point favorites against the Texans. I mean, I don't think the Texans are like cannon fodder. I don't think that this is going to be a non-competitive blowout the way that like Bill Steelers, like not for one second did any human being on earth think that the Pittsburgh Steelers were going to win that game against the Buffalo Bills. I don't think it'll be like that, but it definitely matters. I mean, and they're going to want Mark Andrews back for sure against the Bills and the Chiefs, because those are just much more serious games against teams with the experience. Like everything that has happened for the Texans at this point, total bonus, right? Total bonus. You have all these picks. You make the trade. You make the right trade. Like, it's all a bonus for right now for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, no, it certainly is, and it could be house money playing with a couple of these teams going into the weekend. But coming up next, before we dive into the games, there's a couple of other topics that have been percolating. The first one is, of course, the coaching changes in the National Football League. Now, remember, anything can change on the drop of a dime, but we learned a lot more about some of these openings. Davis and I are going to talk about what it would mean potentially to see some of the changes happen as it's being predicted. Or will it actually happen or not? We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Before we get to the games, there's been some other big news in the NFL this week, as it was reported that the Atlanta Falcons took a second interview, Davis, with Bill Belichick. And so it would appear, now again, they've spoken to some other people. And also, let's not forget, by the way, I hate this idea of this reporting on the Rooney Rule. It's like, just, you know, honestly, at this point, I think we have to do a better job of more diversity in the NFL, but you know, to make it public seems just so disingenuous. I hate the reporting on that. I wish they would just keep that private, make sure that they fill their obligations, and by the way, hire more diverse people, including Antonio Pierce. This guy needs to get a job in the NFL, if not with the Raiders, someone else, but I digress. Anyway, Bill Belichick has interviewed with the Atlanta Falcons twice. I think he's going to be the next head coach there. I mean, it does appear that way. So, Davis, this is one of the things potentially that I'm going to get right. People may wonder why Belichick, Davis, would end up picking Atlanta. Now, the obvious reasons are there. They have a good core of offensive players. He can coach up the defense. I'm sure Arthur Blank, unlike Jerry Jones, is going to give him the keys to the kingdom. And Davis, I still maintain this, even though it's not getting talked about enough. Every year in February and March, Davis, every year, without fail, when I go to spring training in Jupiter, Florida, you know who is there at these spring training games, Davis? It is Bill Belichick, man. He goes to all, I'm telling you, he goes to all these games. He has a boat in Jupiter. Him and his wife are going all around. She has like a sundry shop in Jupiter too. Maybe people don't know this. He's headed south. I'm sure he would have loved to take the job in Tampa if something would have happened there, or Jacksonville. We knew Miami wasn't going to happen. There's no question to me, Davis. He's out of the cold, wants to go somewhere where the situation is better. You can't tell me Atlanta is the very best spot of all these. I think the proximity has a portion, maybe not 80 or 90%, but I definitely think Belichick is wanting to, like, how would we say, like, go out with a bang, but also head off into the sunset in retirement, and Atlanta puts him closer to Florida, where inevitably that's where he's going to retire.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't really think this is a good deal for the Falcons, because there's been some additional reporting to that that's like, yeah, he wants to bring in his guys. He wants to bring in Joe Judge and Matt Patricia and all these Josh McDaniels, you know, who every time we've seen Josh McDaniels outside of calling plays for Bill Belichick, it's not been great. I mean, look, not to say it would be impossible that things work out there. I mean, the Falcons do have a very talented roster. They have two of the better cornerbacks in the NFL. I think Belichick would have a lot of fun coaching those guys. No one needs to be told how good that offense could be. Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, you know, you have like elite guys at every position there. You have a couple first, you know, first round draft pick that you could do something with. And, you know, this is going to be a quarterback carousel offseason. We are going to see a lot of quarterbacks, I think. How about Joe Flacco with the Atlanta Falcons? How about a one-year Joe Flacco in Atlanta situation? I mean, Joe Flacco, the way he played for the Browns, would be better than any Atlanta quarterback we've seen in since Matt Ryan retired. And ultimately, I think I tend to believe this, and I for sure believe that we are not seeing Bill Belichick ride off into the sunset. I believe, Craig, he is 13 games behind Don Shula's all-time wins record for an NFL head coach. So, I mean, look, at Bill Belichick's current pace, that would be like four more seasons, given how poorly the Patriots played. It's probably 2 years with a decent team. Yeah, 2 years, you know, you give it a shot, whatever. I mean, can you do worse as the Atlanta Falcons than hiring probably the greatest head coach in the modern era? Absolutely, you can and have done worse. I wouldn't be super high on it, but I'm open to being wrong about that as well.
Yeah, the thing that gives me a little bit of confidence with this, Davis, in knowing Rich McKay, who used to be with Tony Dungy in Tampa Bay and was running the Buccaneers for a long time, I think this was probably with or right before Gruden, that McKay, I'm confident, knows what he's doing. He's been doing it a long time in the NFL. I think he'll still have a major impact. And by the way, Belichick would probably have to get along with Rich McKay in Atlanta to get this done. So I'm confident that it will work. But like you, you have to have a little bit of skepticism with this based on the results of what Belichick has done the last couple of years. So I certainly get that. We got the Seahawks, the Titans, the Commanders, the Falcons, the Raiders, the Chargers, the Panthers. We got Harbaugh interviewing with the Chargers. We haven't heard much else. We have heard the Titans extremely quiet. The Panthers has been extremely quiet. And Davis, I maintain there's a simple reason for that. They want the Lions offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson. I know that there's been some discussion with him, but if I'm a coach out there, Davis, even though the second half of the Lions wasn't good last week, I'm willing to wait. You know, that guy with Dan Campbell made Dan Campbell look great, right? Like, so for me, I think that's worth the wait. My guess is he's going to end up with, what would you say, either Tennessee or Carolina? Do you think that one of those two?
You know, I'm not exactly sure, because the thing is, and you and I talked about this last week, and I ultimately, Craig, ended up agreeing with you. I think if you are a young coach, Carolina is a terrible spot for you, because you're not going to be able to wash that stink off. The Carolina job should be a Lovie Smith job, right? That is the old retread coach who, you know, I mean, it basically does not matter what they do. They get fired. They get to cash the check in. Because if you're Ben Johnson, if you are Bobby Slowick, and I think those two guys would kind of be two of the hotter names. Like Ben Johnson, I would say, is 100% to leave the Detroit Lions and be a head coach. But Bobby Slowick, probably much lower than that. I mean, his experience in the NFL is like fairly limited. But you have a lot to lose, actually, if you take that Carolina Panthers job, if you are Ben Johnson, because you take that job over and you tell David Tepper, you tell the fans, you're like, all right, I got this. You know, my offensive system, I can make anyone look good. And then you win four games and the team is terrible and Bryce Young looks even worse. And then you're just stuck. I mean, you were just completely stuck at that point. And then you have to go back and put your time in, you know, as an offensive coordinator again. I you know, the Seahawks job is pretty interesting to me. One, you get to play in the weaker conference, so that's big. I mean, the Seahawks were not even particularly good this year, and they almost made the playoffs. You are also in a division with the Rams, who did make the playoffs and who were better than people expected, but they have a 36-year-old quarterback, so, you know, we might see Stetson Bennett, you know, starting for the Rams relatively soon. So I think you got that advantage there. You know, I can't make my mind up about this Chargers. I think the Chargers should hire Harbaugh because the Chargers, they hire Harbaugh. They hire the best offensive coordinator you can find. Maybe, how about this? How about you hire Harbaugh and you pay Ben Johnson head coach money to be your offensive coordinator? I mean, I don't hate it.
Yeah, he ain't going to do that. Nah, he's going to get a head coach. I mean, listen, the guy that I still, and I don't know what his contract deal is, but Davis does, I mean, and maybe he won't get a head coaching job. But let's keep it real here. I'm a fan, clearly. He made Joe Burrow. Davis, does anybody look better than Joe Brady right now with the Buffalo Bills? They literally fired Ken Dorsey halfway through the year. Buffalo looks like the best team in the AFC again, and their offense is on fire. I mean, Joe Brady, I can't imagine they have a multi-year deal with him, right, as offensive coordinator? So yeah. I don't know what the Bills end up doing.
I mean, I think probably Joe Brady will get another chance at some, but he's going to have to be an offensive coordinator, not with Josh Allen again first. I think there will have to be another intermediate step before he'll have to go be the OC for like the Buccaneers or something for a year, and then maybe he can get another go.
Thinking here with Antonio Pierce. Let's end it there. It's bizarre, right? Letting him interview everywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I think Antonio Pierce is going to be a bad hire. I think he did enough to earn it, but like the Raiders are, you know, they're going to win six games or whatever. But it is bizarre to not just be like, Antonio Pierce, we did our interviews, you're the guy. I mean, the Raiders are just a weird team, right?
Yeah. A lot of teams are weird out there. All right, we'll take a quick time out here on Fantasy Sports Today. Never too early to start talking about the NFL draft. We got some news on Michigan's quarterback. We'll tell you what happened next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. If there was any doubt that my co-host Davis Maddock is a 24/7 fantasy football fanatic. I mean, I don't even know what's the word above fanatic at this point. I don't even know. I mean, we're talking NFL draft here from fantasy football perspective. Now, truth be told, Davis, I even in my dynasty league got a trade offer. So I'm sort of there with you, although it would be nice to take a little break from that. But we're not going to get it here on this show. We're going to go over some players and where they'll be drafted potentially. A couple of big news and notes from that this week, too.
Yeah, I mean, this NFL draft, and I guess people kind of say this every year, although no one said this last year. Very interestingly enough, the 2023 class ended up with some absolute studs. I mean, Puka Nacua, right? About a guy who's going to go in the first round of your draft. The 2023 class was sort of acknowledged as a down class. You know, not a ton of skill position players. We did have Bijan, but outside of him, you know, Gibbs ended up going 12. But it was not a class that people were like, really gassed up about, and there is no Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs style running back this year. I would not be surprised to see, you know, not only no running backs go in the first round, I maybe wouldn't be that surprised if no running backs go in the second round either. But after that, I mean, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, Brock Bowers. I mean, we could have five offensive skill position players go in the top 10 picks of the 2024 NFL draft. So it's super top heavy. But actually, I think it's just pretty deep. I mean, there are guys, I have been working on my dynasty, you know, rankings and stuff just to get everything ready for the offseason. And I'm going through and I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, the tight end five in this class might be like an NFL starter. It's pretty nuts. And yeah, I mean, I'm excited to dive into it.
Yeah, well, what we've seen this year in the NFL is more emphasis on the tight end. I think entering next fantasy football season, for the first time maybe in like 15 years, we're going to have like 10 guys I think that you'd feel comfortable starting with. And you could never say that in fantasy. The top tier is dropping, but maybe the low mid tier is rising. So that makes it fun for everybody trying to predict this stuff. Anyway, back early in the week, I think it was Monday or late Sunday, JJ McCarthy, championship for Michigan, says he's coming out. He's going into the NFL draft. Now, the great thing about this is I haven't looked at all into his projections. I'm going to completely guess here. I have no idea, but I did watch McCarthy play for Michigan. And I know Jim Harbaugh said he's the best quarterback Michigan ever had, which is a little silly. Is McCarthy a first-round pick, Davis? Is he? I don't think so, right? Am I wrong with this?
Man, I got to be honest. I would be pretty, pretty surprised to see McCarthy end up being a first-round pick. Although he was a guy, I mean, there's no argument. He did himself a ton of favors this most recent season with his play. You know, he would have been a guy who, we're probably talking about like an undrafted free agent, you know, an XFL guy, right? Like Greg McElroy, remember the Alabama quarterback who he went to the Jets, but like he does TV. That is his thing. The sort of the chatter that I have seen is that there are people inside of the NFL who like McCarthy, a good bit. Obviously not, as much as any of the high-end guys, but there are people who are putting him in sort of, you know, pick 25, 26, 27, 28, that back end of the first round. Maybe the most surprising thing that I have heard recently over, you know, last week or so of people who would know is that people inside the NFL do not like Michael Penix Jr. That, while everyone on Twitter loves Michael Penix Jr. and, you know, all those great throws against Texas and he played so well, and not as much of that going on inside the NFL. And McCarthy, to his credit, I think the thing that you could say about him, Craig, is that he was never really asked to do much at Michigan. I mean, that was really, at the end of the day, the team was so good. The running game was so good. They were so dominant. How can you really judge him in these games where they just, you know, basically did not have to compete? But anytime he was called upon, I mean, look at his final season at Michigan. Oh, I got to play good against Alabama. 3 passing touchdowns. Oh, Michigan State gave us a little bit of a game. 21 for 27 with 4 passing touchdowns. Like, he just was so... He completed almost 75% of his passes in a national championship season. Like, I think there's a little bit there, and I really would not be surprised. If I had to guess right now, Craig, this is my guess. The Denver Broncos draft J.J. McCarthy. That's my guess right now.
Well, I would tell you that the way that McCarthy's stock has risen, at least recently, is in those games toward the end of the season, Davis, he ran a lot. He started running a lot more and getting first downs on big third downs, too. And so, you know, certainly that's what we saw out of Joe Burrow at the end of his college career. Obviously, I'm not going to put him in that same category, but who knows? I mean, draft inflation for quarterbacks is at an all-time high every year. Can I say that as an all-time high every year? That doesn't make sense. So it's at an all-time high. Anyway, let's talk wide receiver here. Here's a name I don't know. Malachi Corley plays for Western Michigan. Let's educate our viewers and listeners. Who is this?
All right, Malachi Corley, he is going to be a guy that I end up taking in a ton of these rookie drafts. So obviously we know, I mean, this Western Kentucky system always gives us guys like this, you know, super high reception, super high receiving yards. It's just kind of that system that they play. They've had guys with, you know, 2,000 yards and 150 catches there before. Corley did that role at Western Kentucky, but he also did it with a higher average depth of target and with more touchdowns than anyone had had in that role in years past. My expectation is that Corley ends up being one of these guys. You know, Craig, you know who I would compare him to in terms of potential fantasy outcomes? And obviously there's been a lot of guys like this who have failed, but remember, we actually, you want to roll the clocks all the way back, we talked about Tank Dell at this period last year. Tank Dell played for the University of Houston, very similar system, you know, not a smaller school, a group of five school, not a power five school, but just so much more productive than his teammates, than everyone else in his collegiate conference. And that's kind of where I would put Corley. Most recent season, he was injured and missed some time, but he doubled up every other player on his team in receiving yards and in touchdowns in Conference USA. As a true junior, he did the same thing, only double-digit touchdown scorer on his team, 1,400 yards. Like, I just think there, if you want to find the next Tank Dell, you want to find the next Puka Nacua, you want to find the next Randall Cobb, Miles Austin, this is a really good group of guys to look at, the very productive small school wide receivers, which is what Malachi Corley is.
All right, fair enough. Now, the one, you know, diamond in the rough type situation, Davis, in fantasy and in reality too, and I like the thought process here, is sort of looking at players in the SEC, that really good conference, that didn't get great quarterback play, so maybe there's another level there. That's definitely what happened at Texas A&M this season. Now, I don't know a ton about Ania Smith, but I can tell you that Jimbo Fisher got fired from A&M. Like, he, you know, did a good job recruiting, but the coaching was poor. Let's talk about Ania Smith here. And sometimes this is what happens. You just don't know because they just didn't get good quarterback play. Kid gets to the NFL. It's like, wow, he played in Mississippi. He played in Mississippi State. It's all of a sudden he's a star. Is that the case here?
So you basically hit at the exact comp that I'm making. So I think you're right. I think good players, guys with good raw production in the SEC who played on crappy SEC teams but still did well. I mean, that's probably my favorite hack in fantasy football, is finding guys who are productive in those circumstances. So, for example, if you really want to make the Debo Samuel comp, Ania Smith was also a part-time running back in 2020 at Texas A&M. So sounds pretty familiar for a guy who did a little bit of both. So that year, Ania Smith had 43 receptions and 6 touchdowns. He was also third on the team with 49 carries and 4 touchdowns. Who is his teammate there? Devin Achane, Isaiah Spiller, two other guys who were, you know, Devin Achane, pretty productive at Texas A&M, but played on a lot of crappy teams, lost a lot of games at Texas A&M. I think the thing that is going to be limiting for Smith as a prospect is he was a redshirt senior, so because he got injured in 2022. He's tremendous long speed, also was a good returner. Being a good returner tends to be pretty predictive at the next level, so this is another one of my real deep sleeper style guys.
All right, finally, let's go to Kentucky and the running back position. Now, this has been a real hit or miss position in the NFL. You may remember a few years ago, there was a kid I absolutely loved at Kentucky, Benny Snell. Oh my gosh, he was like the all-time rushing leader at Kentucky. Oh, he didn't make it with the Steelers. Ray Davis has been fantastic for them, Davis. But again, there's been some success and some failure there with the Wildcats.
Yeah, I mean, I love Ray Davis. So he had averaged almost 6 yards per carry in the SEC. Pretty freaking hard to do that. Scored 21 rushing touchdowns. You know, in some of their biggest games, he absolutely showed up. You know, against
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Easy Alabama defense. He was awesome. He was really good against Florida. Obviously, absolutely smoked some of the terrible teams like Vanderbilt and South Carolina. Did well against Clemson as well. I mean, this is your classic early down the grinder. Honestly, not that dissimilar to Snell, but I think a little bit faster.
All right, fair enough. Hopefully better than Snell. Although I still have hopes, Benny Snell. I'm probably going to see Benny Snell this spring, right? In the USFL, XFL, yeah. PFL, JFL, whatever league they're calling it. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to take a look at the daily fantasy slate this weekend. See if we can find some players to use. These are courtesy of DraftKings, Davis. All right, so four-game slate. In terms of the odds and the totals, I don't recall seeing a divisional round like this in the past. I don't know if it translates over to DFS. I guess you'll have to tell us here. But three of the four games that are being played in the NFL this week, the odds makers, you know, certainly they want action on both sides. But there's also a chance of, like, at least according to the odds, that there could be three blowouts this weekend too. I mean, you don't generally see 6 points or 6.5 point favorites in three of the four games. Now, Bills, Chiefs, I know you're going to love that game. Nobody knows who's going to win that game, let's be honest. But three of those games, if it goes to script, we may have to, like, use a lot of players, right, in DFS on those teams. But if it doesn't go that way, I would ask you, where is the million going?
I mean, it's very hard to say. I would say it is, it's a little bit tempting to look at this slate of games and be like, all right, the 49ers are going to lay the wood. The Ravens are going to lay the wood. How could the Tampa Bay Buccaneers ever hang with the fearsome Detroit Lions? You know, I don't know if it's necessarily that simple. And obviously, we are going to get to a bunch of that in, you know, the second half of the show. We are going to thoroughly break down all of these games. However, there has not been a situation where all four of the favorites have covered in the divisional round since, I believe, 2003. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that all of these games, we're going to see crazy upsets and the Packers are going to hang and the Texans are going to hang. But basically, I mean, if you just think about this in your life, I like to explain things to people this way when thinking about probability. You know, how many times, Craig, have we set ourselves up, all right, I got my three-team parlay of all the favorites. It's going to pay out at even money. I've got all these, 7.5 point favorites parlayed on the money line, put in $100, and I can just basically count my money and walk away. And then, you bet on some team that's 8.5 point favorite and they lose outright. And you're like, well, I thought that was easy money. Thought that was free money. Right. You know, in terms of which game is it going to be? I've got my own opinions. Again, we're going to get into that later. I would say, the thing that we did get kind of lucky about with these outcomes of games is these are all, I think the eight teams that are left are all pretty good offenses and are all pretty fantasy friendly. You know, we really, weirdly enough, the least fantasy friendly offense of the remaining teams, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs are like the most annoying team for fantasy football, not something that we ever would have said, in other years of Patrick Mahomes' career. But I think we have a very interesting slate of games.
All right. So let's take a look at the quarterbacks who Davis likes this week to plug into the daily fantasy lineups. We'll give you the pricing and then some explanation. So Lamar Jackson is the high man. He's at 7,900 this week against Houston. Brock Purdy, 6,500 against Green Bay. And look, Jared Goff, Davis, I've talked about this throughout my shows this week. I was sort of shocked watching Goff play in the second half of that game against the Rams, because the first half looked exactly like the Lions, and the second half looked like the reason why they traded Goff to Detroit. Like, it was very bizarre to me. So, I mean, it seems to me it's a great price in a prime matchup, but I don't know why Detroit did what they did in that game against the Rams in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Jared Goff has just always been he's pretty good. Actually, not even pretty good. He's very good when he does not get pressured. So if you do not blitz him, if you don't really get after him, you know, he can kind of do whatever he needs to do. Now, this is a rematch. The only game here that is not a rematch of a game in the regular season is Packers 49ers in that week. I believe it was a week 3 game between the Buccaneers and the Lions. Goff just didn't really have to do anything. The Buccaneers offense played really poorly in that game, but they did blitz him 18 times. I think he's going to see a lot of that. However, I just think that salary-wise, things set up pretty well for Jared Goff. If you look at what he can do from a median perspective, I think from a median, not only is he better than Stroud, he's probably better than Mahomes as well, just in terms of gets to play that game in a dome. His weapons are better. I think the Buccaneers should be able to score points against the Lions. The Lions have, really basically the worst or second worst passing defense in the NFL over the last 2 months of the season. They have been Commanders-esque. They should try and get the Buccaneers to run somehow. Their run defense has been too good. Lamar, though, is clearly, I think, the best quarterback here. I mean, he's coming off of the 40-point game that he had against Miami. And Lamar has, you know, basically game-to-game the highest ceiling of almost anyone in fantasy football. Maybe McCaffrey has a little bit more. But it's really just a matter of, do opposing teams make him try? And if you look at some of the games where he had to try this year, he absolutely went ballistic, you know. And then in a lot of games where they were just up the entire time, he's like, all right, I'm handing the ball off to Gus Edwards. I'm throwing a screen pass to Rashad Bateman, and just we're kind of just handling business. And I think when you get to the NFL playoffs, well, I mean, every game is pretty competitive, and you're just much more likely to see Lamar run. Lamar actually averaged his fewest rushing attempts from scrimmage of any year of his career this year. I'm just going to say in the playoffs, the baseline for Lamar is going to be like 9 rushing attempts per game. What is Lamar being saved for at that point? So I think that I think the median projections on him will be a little bit wrong. And honestly, though, I mean, how do you go against Brock Purdy, right? I mean, how do you? It's just like the Packers have the worst defense left cumulatively in the playoffs. The Lions might have a little bit worse of a passing defense. And the 49ers are just the Death Star. McCaffrey, Debo, Ayuk. If the 49ers want Purdy to have 303, he's going to get 303 in this game. I am not as interested in the two quarterbacks in Chiefs Bills. I think that game probably goes under. I prefer Goff to Mayfield, and I think Stroud and Jordan Love, I don't think there's going to be enough points available for the two of them to enter into optimal lineups.
All right, so at running back, it really does come down to McCaffrey, who the last time we saw him, it was Fantasy Football Championship weekend. And, you know, certainly his worst game of the season there. You know, if Christian McCaffrey is healthy, he's the best priced player on the board. But Davis, like, do we really know? Like, do we really know? I mean, we've seen this before. McCaffrey plays and then doesn't finish. He was full go at practice all week long, so we make the assumption that he is full go and he's 100% healthy. But truly, these are human beings. You never know. He's 8,800 this week on DraftKings. Jahmyr Gibbs coming off, not his best game, by the way. Finally, a not great Jahmyr Gibbs game, 6,600. Isaiah Pacheco, he got in the end zone, 6,400. The Ravens, Justice Hill's 4,800. Dalvin Cook, by the way, was activated by Baltimore. I don't know if we're going to see him in this game.
Yeah, you know, we will. I hope not. I really hope that we are not forced to see any Dalvin Cook in this game. You really hit the nail on the head, which is that Christian McCaffrey, I mean, one, I don't have any worries about I don't have any worries about his health heading in to this game. I think he should be good to go. Really, Christian McCaffrey has not had to play a serious game since December 31st, right? He's basically had 3 weeks off. He's been hanging out. He's been hydrating. He's been stretching. McCaffrey probably just such a huge advantage for the 49ers and the Ravens, in my opinion, right? To just be rested, good to go, haven't had to play, didn't have to play in week 18. I don't think that can be overstated, like compared to the Texans. The Texans, you know, every game they've played for the last 3 weeks has been do or die. Same thing for the Green Bay Packers. So McCaffrey, I just think you set his counter at 20 points, and then you just see how many more points than 20 he can get. Obviously, at wide receiver, we're going to talk about some of his teammates. I don't think you have to play Christian McCaffrey. I mean, he is the most expensive player on DraftKings by, he's $600 more than St. Brown. He is $1,100 more than his teammate, Deebo Samuel. So you have to make some real sacrifices to get him in, but obviously he is very strong. I do prefer Jahmyr Gibbs to Rashad White, Aaron Jones, and James Cook. Got the 16 points with the four targets last week, did score the rushing touchdown. I think that this spot, I will be on the Buccaneers side of that 6.5 point. I think the Buccaneers should be able to play them tough. No disrespect, obviously, intended to David Montgomery. But when you want to win a tough playoff game, there's only so much that handing the ball off to David Montgomery can do. You know, Montgomery is a... he's a floor raiser. He is going to keep your rushing game sort of on schedule, but David Montgomery is never going to make the play that changes the outcome of a playoff game. Jahmyr Gibbs definitely can do that. So my expectation is that last week's 8 rushes and 4 targets would be his floor of expected involvement. I think his ceiling is something like 16 rushes and 8 targets. Like, I think they might build a lot of the game plan around throwing him the ball. Isaiah Pacheco, I mean, you know, Jerick McKinnon is out. Pacheco played all the meaningful stuff last week, got the rushing touchdown. Honestly, like, has probably the second best role for fantasy of any running back in the playoffs. And Craig, I wanted to toss this one out to you. This is my wackadoodle theory for the fantasy football playoffs here. But Justice Hill scored 22 fantasy points, their last game in the regular season, that game against the Dolphins. What if Justice Hill is the Ravens' Jerick McKinnon, where they never use him in the regular season because they don't need it, right? I mean, we're winning every game. We're the one seed. We just run the ball with Gus Edwards. We throw Keaton Mitchell in there a little bit. But you get to the playoffs, stakes get a little bit higher. You need a running back who can catch the ball in the passing game, something Gus Edwards has never done. I have a sneaking suspicion we do get a bit more of Justice Hill in these playoff games than we did in the regular season.
Yeah, look, it would make sense. And Hill's had injury issues in the past. Maybe it is a saving situation. So I understand the thought process there. Let's move on to wide receiver quick. We only have a couple of minutes to go here. So Deebo Samuel of the 49ers, he's 7,700 on DraftKings. Stephon Diggs is 7,000. Zay Flowers, we haven't called his name in a couple of weeks, 6,000. Dontavian Wicks, Green Bay, 4,800. Josh Reynolds, 3,700. Man, that guy delivered on his price in the first half of that game against Detroit. I thought he was going to have like 300 yards, Davis. Like, Goff was like, Josh Reynolds. It stopped completely in the second half, but you got what you paid for there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these guys, Wicks is my preferred Packers wide receiver. Reynolds is my preferred value guy. Flowers, preferred mid-range guy. I don't love Stephon Diggs, but I think that, you know, 1-2% owned Stephon Diggs in a game that could go way over the total. I don't think it will, but it could. Seems interesting. St. Brown, obviously, is going to be the most popular wide receiver. He's only 8,200. But my call for the week, my flag plant, is that Deebo outscores his teammate Christian McCaffrey and is in all the winning rosters at tight end. Knox is your punt, likely is your guy that you stack up with Lamar Jackson and Kittle. I mean, he also is going to fall in a total dead range. Travis Kelce is only 6,000. I love Kittle at 5,200 as a way to stack with Purdy.
All right, so there you go. The DFS slate with 4 games going away after this week. My goodness. All right, well, next week we'll do it for the AFC and the NFC championship game. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to take a quick timeout. We will preview the second hour of the show. Davis and I will preview every game individually, take a look at the point spread, the total, how that could affect fantasy. We also have fantasy or reality and of course the Sports Grid 60 as well. You're watching Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish. He's Davis Maddock. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. We've got a big hour coming up next. We're going to go through all of the games in the NFL, and by all that means four. It is coming down to the end. Of course, we'll take a look at the daily fantasy options for those games individually and also take a look at the point spreads. We got the point Sports Grid 60 also coming up as well in hour number two. So there you have it on your screen. If you're listening, again, stick around. We got a full hour to go, Davis. Are you going to be able to watch all these games this weekend? I'm sort of looking at my schedule here. I'm feeling strong. I'm feeling like I may miss a little of the first game Saturday, but I think I'm in for the rest.
I'm locked in. Am I going to be locked in if the 49ers are up 97 points on the Packers in the second half? Like, no, probably not. But Craig, here in the great Midwest, we got snow, we got wind, we got ice. It is frightful. It actually did let up on us for a little bit the last week. I went on a long walk with my dog, you know, got bundled up, but we are single digit temperatures, ice on the roads, there's salt everywhere. You know, it just feels Craig, there's this thing that happens in the Midwest where you go outside and you just want to swear. It just feels painful. It just feels painful to exist outdoors in the Midwest sometimes. So I'm not going anywhere. I'm locked in. Right. I'm on the couch. And don't try and talk to me during Bills Chiefs. I'm already dreading it. It's not even going to be fun. Like, truly, it's not even fun. It's just stressful.
I mean, kind of like, there was a chance you wouldn't get your team to this point, Davis. I thought there was a chance Dolphins were going to beat the Chiefs. I'm the crazy one. Now you're at the point, it's like now you're back invested again. It's like they look pretty good. Yeah. You think that there's a chance. And look, honestly, they could easily beat Buffalo, and then you're going to have to do it all again next week too. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back for hour two next here on Fantasy Sports Today.